And the rocks rent?
Yeah.
But that verse also says, doesn't it, that groaneth and travaileth in pain.
Yeah.
So there's an agony to this scenario.
Yes.
Are we a part of that creation too?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Actually, the word things here in verse 10, there is no word for things there. It's sort of just added so it'd be understood. It says, every knee should bow of in heaven and on earth and under the earth.
Things in time.
But it's implied of beings.
Yeah, it's implied.
Beings that exist in heaven, on earth, and under the earth.
But the beauty of this section, and we really don't want to lose sight of it, that the object is this, that this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. I think it is a beautiful illustration of the perfection and the humility of the Lord Jesus. How did he will obtain that position where every knee will bow and every tongue will confess? Man will try to get it in a different way, but the Lord Jesus humbled himself. One took the form of a servant. I mean, who could grasp or understand that? A form of a servant. Death, not only just death, even the death of the cross. This is what the Lord have gone through. And again, Christianity is not theoretical. These things are not just theory that we talked about. It must have impact on our life. This is how the Lord gone to the glory. And if we want to go to the glory, this is the only way to go to the glory.
So you have the Lord Jesus in the upper room saying to his disciples, you call me Lord and Master, and you say right. Right titles. If I do this to you, so should you also do to your brethren. There is a course to follow for those who bow the knee to the Lord.
To have this humble mindset.
That's correct.
And for the man, for the race of man, which is the highlight of, it's quite an embarrassment. When you look at all creation that groaneth, when you look at creation, how, and I've often shared this before, how the animal kingdom had obeyed him far better than man has. You know, with the animals coming by God's command into the ark. Animals that fed prophets. And so on and so forth. And it's embarrassing. If you explain it that way, it should embarrass us. At the human race, that which was created after the image and glory of God, that the creation around us is a better testimony than we are to it. In that we are not willing to bow, or I should say, we are today, the believers, but mankind is not willing to bow, but all of creation does.
Let's move on to these next two verses. For he must reign till he put all his enemies under his feet. I think there isn't one in this room that would enjoy a book that didn't have a conclusion. And so it is with the Word of God. There will come a time when everything will be in its proper place, with the Lord reigning and the enemies of God put down. And you know, this is, when you read Revelations, the cries of the martyrs of the tribulation are, how long, O Lord, will this go on? I mean, it's written in Scripture, 7 years. But the horror and the madness of that time will be so great. These suffering saints will just cry and cry to the Lord, how long will this go on? But the Lord has a conclusion to it.
And the conclusion is pre-programmed. It must be that way.
Amen.
And that's beautiful to see. This is God's program. So the one who was dishonored must be honored. He must reign. And what we had in Hebrews 2 earlier about his sufferings, it behoved him. I'm trying to find that verse. We're referring to Hebrews 2 verse 10, for it became him. They have the same concept. This was what was proper. This could not be any other way. And so what is proper, what must be, this is God's program, and that is the happy ending that it ultimately will lead to, as you say. Beautiful. He must have the preeminence, and so the Lord must be honored.
Let's remember that creation, right at the onset, was plunged into a condition which is not righted until the Lord makes it right. And that is in God's time, after the 1,000 years, after the Satan and the Antichrist and the, what's the other one?
False prophet.
The false prophet put down. And how does Peter describe it? That the Lord will take the universe and the earth and reform it with a firm, fervent heat. Well, in that time, all the enemies of God will be out of the way.
And the verse is mentioned in that beautiful chapter, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, where really death is the biggest obstacle and the biggest enemy. It is the biggest obstacle because it came in and all mankind was subject to it. And here it is, the resurrected man. Who is going to set everything in order? Even death. Man could not do anything about death. He could not. Man could not do anything about death at all. But here it is, the Son of Man in resurrection, that last Adam, that second man, that first fruit, is going to take care of that for all of those who belong to him. He will subdue everything. He must reign. There is no other way about it. He must reign. He must take that place of authority, where he would express it and administrate it. Everything will be subdued, even death. Even death will be subdued to the Lord Jesus, the Son of Man. He is the one, the only one, that went into death by his own initiative on the cross. They didn't kill him. He delivered up the spirit. And I could imagine, just imagine that day, what happened to death. When he saw, for the first time, a man walking into his own domain. Nobody ever did that. Death will go and grab people. For the first time, here is a man going into the domain of death and binding him and taking his thing away from him. What must I? That is the Lord that we belong to. Amen. That is the Lord, the power of him. Who would not bow the knee to that person? There is no enemy. He must reign. And he will put everything in order and deliver it to the hand of God.
This makes him Lord of all. Because he's gone every place there is to go. Yep. And he's conquered all. Yep. So it makes him Lord of all, not in theory, but in practice. Mm-hmm.
So, in talking to my co-workers at various times over the years, I've heard this remark. Well, I'm going to have a lot of buddies in hell, so it's going to be a big party. What does it say?
Tell.
No. He totally misunderstood what I was trying to tell him. It's not a party scene. It's judgment. And that brings us to this. This is more on the third verse, but Revelations.
Yeah.
Judgment was given unto them. And then the final part of this verse in Revelations. The rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such, the second death hath no power. Is there such a thing as a second death? Oh, yes, there is. Right? It's from the natural perspective. Who would understand the second death? But what did God tell Adam? In the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Did Adam die that day? No. No. But
he died.
Spiritually he died.
Yeah.
Right? And that pertains to the second death.